Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show here on FM Talk 106.5. It's good to be with you today. Joining us now from the great state of Texas, happy to bring him on. Represents the people of the 13th Congressional District in Texas. Congressman Ronnie Jackson. Congressman, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for taking time to talk to us today. Let's get right into it. You have a very interesting story, interesting background. A lot of people may know you. You served as the White House physician. I guess, like, what drew you to run for Congress? That seems like such a big transition to go from that profession, medicine with the military into the, you know, the halls of Congress.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I really never had any desire to be a politician or run for office. I really didn't. You know, I was a physician. I was an emergency medicine physician. Spent 25 years on active duty in the Navy. I knew I was going to be getting out of the Navy pretty soon. I was already lining up some jobs, you know, working as a consultant and sitting on some boards and things of that nature. I was going to have a pretty good life, making a lot more money than I was making on my government salary. But I'll be honest with you, I just got so disgusted with what was going on in our country about, you know, I would say 6 to 12 months, well, probably a year or so before I actually got out of the Navy. I really started every day I'd wake up and I would just be really disgusted with what I was seeing happening in our government. And I just decided, you know what, I can't be that guy that, you know, that just sits around at the coffee shop and you know, bitches and complains about it. I got to be somebody doing something about it. And I thought I was in a unique position to do something about it. You know, I had a really strong relationship with President Trump, and you know, I knew everybody in the West Wing, and I'd worked around the Hill, around the Senate and the House, and so I had some connections. And you know, unexpectedly, a spot opened up. Mac Thornberry in the 13th Congressional District decided he wasn't going to run again. He'd been the congressman there for 26 years, and that was the area of the Texas that I grew up in. And I thought to myself, wow, I could go up there, I could represent those folks up there without changing anything about who I am. You know, politically, socially, culturally, economically, we're on the same page. And I thought to myself, I could do a lot of good as a freshman congressman, maybe more so than most freshman congressmen, because of the relationships that I developed in D.C. over the few years prior to that while I was on active duty. And I just decided I have an obligation to get in the fight and do something about what's going on in our country, and that's what led me here.
And it's interesting because you spent time, actually, unlike a lot of freshman members of Congress, you actually have done the D.C. thing. I mean, because for a lot of people that haven't spent time there, it's an eye-opening experience. You had that eye-opening experience a long time ago. How has that been, just kind of knowing the way that city works? It's such a weird atmosphere.
Yeah.
And now you're actually, you know, a prominent voice up there on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, well, I think that place destroys a lot of people. You know, it kind of takes their soul. It really does. And you're right, I had some exposure to it, but luckily I had the exposure while I was on active duty. So while I was on active duty, I saw what was going on in D.C., and I saw how it all works and how the pieces fit together. But I wasn't a politician. I didn't have a political opinion. I was in D.C., but I wasn't serving as a politician. So I didn't get corrupted by the swamp and all the, you know, everything that happens up there. And I think as a result, I'm getting a little bit older, and I figured out how things work up there, and I won't be corrupted by the swamp. And I think that's what makes me different. Is I'm the Hollywood of that place wore off for me a long, long time ago. If I have an opportunity to be there or be in my district, I'm in my district every single time. I stay up there to go to committee hearings and to vote when I need to be there. But if I don't need to be there, I'm not there. The place really is a swamp and a sewer, and we have to clean it up.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the 13th Congressional District. What do you hear from your constituents? It seems pretty widespread, at least here in Alabama, that you know there's a lot of dissatisfaction with Washington, D.C., and a lot of people look for outsiders to go up there and try to change the culture. Does that seem to be true in your congressional district?
Oh, yeah. My district is R plus 33, which means I am the number one most conservative district in the entire United States. It's Trump country up there. People loved President Trump. They voted for him overwhelmingly. He got easily 90% of the vote in my district. And I'll tell you, they like him because he's not an establishment guy. And he came in and he took down a lot of establishment people. And he never presented himself or never did anything to become part of the establishment. And that's what people in my district are looking for. They want good people up there that are going to do what's right for our country and not be driven by politics that benefit them on a personal level. And that's a lot of what happens up in D.C. That's why it is such a swamp and it's driven by the establishment.
We're joined by Congressman Ronnie Jackson. He represents the 13th Congressional District over in Texas. Congressman, going forward with the Republican Party, a lot coming out of CPAC, and there was some question where it was headed, at least the conservative movement, let's say, maybe not the Republican Party in particular, but It was some question, you know, whether Donald Trump was still the guy in the party. And that seems to be the case, at least my experience from looking around here. Do you feel that way about the former president?
Well, here's the deal, Jeff. I think the Republican Party went through a tough couple of months, and I think a lot of people didn't know exactly where this was going to go. The Democrats prayed that Donald Trump was dead and buried. They prayed that, and that's why the whole impeachment sham was there. They didn't want to ever see him come back to the surface again, and they thought they had to impeach him to make sure that never happened. And they prayed that they had gotten rid of him. There were even some people in the Republican Party, I think, that after January 6th happened, they thought, well, Trump's dead now. He's not coming back. And they started trending off in another direction, you know, and weren't really supporting the president or his agenda. Well, what we know now, 2 months later, is that President Trump is in control of this party. President Trump is running this party right now. He is leading this party. And his Keep America Great, Make America Great, America First agenda, the movement that he started, whether or not President Trump ever runs for office again or is, you know, ever an elected official again, it does not matter. The movement that President Trump started is alive and well, and CPAC's proven that. And it's people are coming together. I mean, there might have been a little bit of a hint of division in the Republican Party for a couple of months there, but it's not anymore. People are realizing, and the reason that's happening is because people are looking at the alternative, and we don't have to speculate about the alternative anymore. We are living the alternative, right? People are seeing what the Democrats are doing right now. They're being run by the far left of their party, which are basically Marxists, socialists, and communists, and they are destroying this country right before our eyes, and it's scaring people to death. People are going to come together on the right, and we are going to win the House back, the Senate back, and the White House back at the first opportunity.
Well, let's talk about that. 2022, 2024, you still are going to need, whether he runs or not, it remains to be seen. But do you think it's fair to say Donald Trump's still got to be a part of this for the Republicans to have success in the 2022 midterms and beyond?
He does. He has to be a part of it, and I think he will be. You know, I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and I think he's excited about making sure. You know, he cares about his legacy. He cares about the movement that he started. You know, I mean, he started this Keep America Great, America First agenda, the movement. And I think he wants to see that movement, you know, carry on for decades and you know, and be responsible for great things in our country, which I think it will. So he's invested in this as well, and he will work with party leaders and people that are running, and they will try to find the right candidates for the right seats. He'll support the people that are currently there to make sure that, you know, that we keep them, that we get the majority back. And we're on track to get the majority back in the House for sure. I mean, we were supposed to lose 15 seats, and we picked up 16 seats. They went from a 41-seat majority to a 9-seat majority. We were 5 seats short of winning the House back, and that was completely unexpected. So our trajectory is to – we are definitely going to get the House back in 2022. You know, we're 50-50 in the Senate. I think we'll get the Senate back. And then I think in 4 years the Democrats have done so much damage that we'll get the White House back, and President Trump will be a part of that happening.
Hey, Congressman, we'll wrap it up on that question. A very thinnest of thin majorities in the House of Representatives. You just, you know, went through the rigors of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. But it does seem there's some prospects there. With that thin majority, if you could just get a handful of Democrats to go Republicans' ways on certain things and then not, you know, get it too off the rails, it maybe the House of Representatives can play some defense on some of the radical agenda that Democrats try to push forward in the House.
Yeah, we could. And I'll be honest with you, there are some moderate Democrats that would probably do that, but they are terrified of the far left of their party right now. The far left of their party is coming after Republican members, myself and other members. You know, they shut us down on social media. They cancel us. They call us racist and bigots and, you know, and homophobes and they try to label us and destroy our careers, destroy our families, destroy our reputations. The Democrats, the moderate Democrats that might want to step out and join us on a few things that make sense for their district, that take care of the American people, they are terrified of those people in their party that are doing it to us. They know that they will be the recipient of the exact same behavior. The Democrats will primary them out, and they'll destroy them in the process. So the moderate Democrats are terrified of the far left of their party right now, and too terrified to step out and do it. But I think there may come a time in the near future where the far left overplays their hand, and we may get a few of those people with the courage to step up and do something. We'll see.
All right, Congressman. Well, thank you for your time today. We're out of time, but it was good to get you on, and maybe we could talk again sometime in the future.
Yes, sir. Pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas's 13th Congressional District. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.